Hello and welcome to the Uranium Bacon Podcast Theater. I'm Uranium Bacon.
I'm Contrapants, and this is episode 3 of I'm Ashamed of This Podcast.
And we've made it. This is the third episode. And before we embarked on this little endeavor, Contrapants and I said that if we ever made it to episode 3, we probably will actually stick with it for more than 3 weeks. And, you know, that we didn't think this day would come, but we've actually made it to episode 3.
Yeah, I kind of wish we bailed, but what are we going to do?
Oh, that's okay. Now we could just mess up at our own leisure and abandon it whenever we feel like it. Now there's no time constraints on our failure.
Now that's pretty much confirmed that we'll never have a fan. It's okay.
Do not speak ill of Portuguese Fausto.
Yeah, but
my condolences go out to Portuguese Fausto, actually, for the World Cup.
Yeah, well, I have a feeling he's not listening anymore, so because of that, he might have offed himself.
I hope not. Fausto, if you're out there, please send an email to show@imashamedofthis.com just to make sure you're okay.
Nice plug.
It's a great plug. Yeah. See, I'm getting it. Maybe at some point we'll actually advertise to more than just our friends who don't listen to our podcast.
Yeah. I checked the number of downloads. It's just us.
You're ruining the magic.
No, but in the future, it will be thousands.
It's just us and Fausto. What is it with you forgetting about Fausto? Like, dude, we have one fan to keep track of. One fan. Just one guy. Shout out to Fausto. Please be alive.
Anyway, so this week, we actually kind of planned a topic a couple hours ago. So we figured, what are weird things, weird food items that we've always thought about? Like, do we want to try it, or just, this is too strange to eat?
Yeah, just, like, what the fuck do some people eat around the world? So, as the person who actually gave this forethought and preparation, Contrapants, would you like to lead off?
Yeah, I wrote down, it turns out there's 6 things, not 5.
That's like 5, but better.
Yeah. Just the first one, that's not as weird as the rest, but to start off, I always want to try fugu.
Fugu? Oh, the
blowfish.
Yes.
Just ever since I saw it on The Simpsons, I always want to know, is it worth the point, you know, risking the death?
You know, that is the only reason why I know it's a thing.
Yep, me too.
If it weren't for The Simpsons, I have no idea what fugu is.
And I always look for it whenever I go to a sushi bar or anything. It's never listed.
So I don't want to have giant liability and kill my customers.
Yeah, I wish there was, like, there's, like, those other places, like, I guess, like, Heart Attack Grill and all, like, the places where it's super hot food and everything, where they make you sign a waiver. I kind of wish there was something like that for fugu. I would totally do it. I want to try it.
The waiver for fugu is probably a bit more warranted than the one for the fatty food.
Yeah. Well, the fatty food apparently actually gives people a heart attack. That's how the owner died.
Well, to be fair, you don't get a heart attack on your first try. It's like you take one bite of the sandwich and keel over. Like, that's years of lining your heart with grease.
Well, at the same time, one burger there is like over 15,000 calories or something like that.
I feel that's exaggerated.
I don't know if it is anymore.
I don't know. But that makes me want it, I'm not going to lie. But if it's 15,000 calories, I don't see how one person could possibly eat a whole burger. It has to be a monstrous burger.
Well, I would think if you go to Heart Attack Grill, you're going there because you're already a super huge fatty.
Oh, but I'm not super.
And I think this time I'm going to give us a point to the site. I'm going to put links on the actual podcast, what we talk about.
And maybe we should do things that link to our podcast, except for that one tweet. By the way, for those of you eagerly following our podcast, like Contrapants, I have actually joined Twitter. So now you can tweet at Uranium Bacon.
I threatened that if he didn't create the name, I was going to create the name and tweet nothing but gay porn from it.
Yes. So I created it right in front of him to spite him, and my first tweet was, fuck you, Contrapants.
And that already gained him a follower.
That actually did gain me a follower in the first 5 minutes. Not Fausto, surprisingly enough. So Fausto, if you are on Twitter, please follow.
I totally feel loved on Twitter, because saying fuck you to me gets people followers.
Yeah. And my first retweet was of me, telling Contrapants to go fuck himself.
I retweeted it too.
And apparently my second retweet was Contrapants, telling Contrapants to go fuck himself.
But I figured if I write down what I'm going to link to, while we record, I won't have to listen to this because I feel deep shame every time I listen.
Normally I love the sound of my own voice, but I am just so ashamed of this podcast. I don't know if I could listen to me right now. But it's getting better.
So, here it is. You ever hear of the or Tulpan bunting? It's a bird?
No.
Apparently it's a thing in France where they take a tiny little songbird, about the size of a canary, force-feed it grain its whole life to the point where it's like liver and everything's exploding, like worse than veal or any other like force-fed foie gras, that's the word, kind of thing. And then what you have to do is they deep-fry the entire bird, and what you're supposed to do is you just put the whole thing in your mouth and chomp down except the head, and you chew on the bones and everything, supposedly this huge delicacy. But the thing that makes it, like, it's so gluttonous and terrible and everything that traditionally when you eat it, you cover your head and the bird with a cloth to hide your shame from God.
Wow. When the tradition involves hiding your shame from God, I think that's perfect for us.
I've always wanted to try it because of that. It's a legend.
I think that is now the official food of this podcast. Something that we've never had.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think of that. The word shame.
You should be well acquainted with shame by now, but yeah. Wow, having to hide your shame from God.
Like, supposedly it's like, well, I guess in France, I don't know everywhere, it's like more grotesque than the sushi in Japan where it's still breathing.
Oh, okay.
Like the mouth is still moving and everything like that.
That's fresh sushi. You cannot get fresher sushi than that, apparently.
Yeah.
So is it still alive when you put it in your mouth?
No, it's deep fried and dead.
Okay. Though I do have one question. If you put the whole body in your mouth and bite down, does it technically shit in your mouth?
I don't know.
Because that also could be shameful.
Well, it is force-fed a lot. I wonder if they... Although it's also a bird, so it just kind of comes out as it goes in. There's no... Like, birds are shit when they shit after shit. They don't hold it at all. They keep them lightweight. But maybe we're getting too sciencey.
But you have to admit, this is the kind of thing people will wonder. And by people, I mean me.
Yeah.
Also, backtracking to sushi. I've always wanted to try whale sushi. I want to go into one of those illegal California back roads, like, sushi places that actually will serve whale, because you're not allowed to. It's prohibited by law, but some people do it because, you know, it's profitable, and people like profit. And I've always wanted to try it. And the fact that it's illegal makes me want it more.
Is it, like, the blubber, or is it the food itself, like, the meat itself?
I'm not sure.
I'm kind of curious. I kind of want to try it, too.
Yeah.
I like how this is, like, the weirdest stuff we could think of, and still want to eat it all.
Oh! Well, we'll get to that later, Will.
Well, there's another one, speaking of illegal food.
Oh!
There's one that's illegal even in China.
I love how illegal food is a segue that actually comes up in our podcast, which I'm ashamed of.
So there is, like, this underground restaurant. Not, like, literally underground, but, like, illegal. You only find out about it word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to pay, like, thousands of dollars a month just to keep a membership. And you have to, like, be vouched for and things like that. Because what you do is, you go in and you're able to select an animal. And that's the animal you're going to eat that night. It could be cows, could be chickens, whatever. But what they do is they shackle the animal in the back. You have sex with it, and against its will, as if it could consent, and then they kill it right after you finish, and then you eat it. So it's the bestiality part that makes it illegal, I think. Apparently, it's also like inhumane killing and all that stuff. I don't know if that counts for China.
Wow.
So
up until the have sex with the animal, I'm like, I was kind of on board with this.
Yeah.
But that's where no.
So if you ever wanted to rape a bull, then eat its balls, you can do it.
I'm just amazed that there's enough people willing to do that, that they could stay in business.
But you have to pay like a monthly membership to keep your status alive or whatever. And if you don't go 1 month and they happen to move and you don't find out, too bad. It's over for you. It's completely secretive and word of mouth. They can't, like, advertise or anything like that, naturally.
Oh, gee whiz, I wonder why. Why can't they form a marketing campaign with that?
But, I mean, with how, like, you could pretty much do whatever the fuck you want in China without breaking the law, except for, you know, anything against the government or anything like that. Like, nothing's enforced is the thing.
You can do anything you want as long as it's not political, apparently.
Yeah, like, you... there's no laws against, like, inhumane conduct, it seems. Or maybe there is, and cops just don't enforce it. I don't know. But
I'm too busy cracking down on Google for people trying to figure out what happened in Tiananmen Square.
yeah, I couldn't believe that. No one even knows.
Yeah, you figure that's the kind of thing people would just know. Wow. Any animal?
Supposedly. Like, I know the list of chickens, and I don't even know how you could have sex with a chicken. Because it's not like there's, like, an actual... Like, chickens don't have sex like humans. Like, they fertilize the eggs once they're already laid.
Yeah.
I think. Maybe I'm dumb. I'm going to be really corrected otherwise. Because I know ducks have actual sex. Because the whole duck... all sex with ducks is rape.
Now, one female duck is willing to save the... has to save the species.
A little corkscrew penis, then.
Well... Well, I just don't know how that works, really. And I'm happy not knowing. So please do not link to duck mating videos on our comment section or send them to show@imashamedofthis.com. Please do not do that.
I will not upload anything from my personal archive either.
Good.
All right. So the next two things I have are...
Wait. You have things that are worse than this?
I'm going to say it's a lateral move for one of them, but it's probably not as bad. Here's the thing. This next one, it's more humane, but I think more gross.
I'm afraid of this, but go on.
It's not really something you buy or is common, but apparently it was a thing on Tumblr for a little bit, where a woman made cookies where one of the ingredients was her PMS blood. Menstrual blood. She made menstrual blood cookies.
I thought you were going to say breast milk.
Oh, that was my next one. Breast milk ice cream. That one I do want to try, though.
That one I probably would eat, but...
Apparently, everyone tastes different a little bit, depending on the woman's diet.
Interesting.
And it's legal in the UK.
It's illegal in other places?
I don't think you can buy it in America.
Well, this is just one of those things like, A, prove it. You know?
Yeah.
And B, like, try and force that?
I guess. Although, you'd have to... If you're going to do that, you're probably going to advertise that because it's so expensive at that point. And, you know, then it's easy to enforce that.
Maybe.
Because otherwise, otherwise you're just going to blend in as an ice cream shop, and why would anyone spend $20 a pint or whatever?
Okay.
But the PMS cookies, she wrote... on the post, and I wish I had the quote. I have it somewhere, but I don't have it here. How she said that it came out pretty good, but a little more flowery than she wanted. Next time, a little less flour.
So that was the complaint. The amount of flour she put in there. So even just if you ignore where it came from, it's still essentially a blood cookie.
But here's the thing. I think it's just because it's menstrual blood. Because if it came from a human being, I'm fine with trying, like, breast milk ice cream. So it's not that it's a human being's fluid. But I've had blood sausage, and I was okay with that. For some reason, it's just, I think it's because it's menstrual blood, which I know it's not just blood, but...
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of other natural goodness, shall we say, in there.
Blood sausage also isn't as cracked up as, like, it's not as amazing as people make it sound like.
I don't think I've ever had blood sausage.
Across the street from they have it. The tapas place.
Oh, that's great. Do you remember we weren't going to tell people where we live?
We live in okay, I'll remember to bleep that out.
We have our first chance of actual censorship on this show. Well done, Country Pants. Well done.
I am intelligent.
Sadly, you're the smartest person in this room. Well, I guess that's not saying too much, but still. Sadly, you're the smartest person in a lot of rooms.
And I didn't. We blew through these faster than I thought we would.
Yeah.
Because I only have one more left, and it's not nearly as bad as all the others.
Now, I'm not done with this whole blood cookie thing.
All right.
Forgive me. I'm a little bit horrified and a little bit curious, and I don't know which way I'm leaning.
Oh, God. I just thought of something else.
Why do you sound impressed by that?
No, I just remembered something. Menstrual blood cookie reminded me of something else.
I'm both proud I know you and horrified that I know you. Again, I don't know how to feel about anything right now.
I'll let
you
finish your thought first.
Now, if this were, say, pig's blood cookies, would you be more inclined to try them?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what blood sausage is. It's like cow and pig blood.
It is. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, is it, like, gross because it's human blood? Or gross because it's from that particular cycle?
Even if it was human blood, I don't think I'd mind it as much. I think it's just because it's menstrual blood.
Okay.
I think I would try a human blood cookie. Assuming, you know, they're, like, clean and all. I don't want an AIDS cookie.
No. No, you do not. Although, wouldn't the baking process kill the AIDS virus?
I don't know. I don't think I would want to risk... Because the thing is, for it to completely kill to the point where I might try it, that cookie's got to be cinders at that point. Like, it's got to be just kept at 9,000 degrees for, like, an hour. Before I'll touch an AIDS cookie.
Even then, I'm not sure how long it would live outside the human body.
I don't know either.
So those
I know there was, like, that whole AIDS scare in the 80s that I know a lot of it's folklore not true, but there was the whole, they had the blood-coated needles in the coin return slots of payphones and everything with, like, welcome to AIDS written in it and everything. I don't know how true it is, but I don't know how long AIDS will last outside the human body because of it.
Sounds very made up. Kind of awesome, but very made up.
It does. It's probably like, you know, razor blades and the candy at Halloween and all that shit, too.
Yeah.
The satanic panic.
Exactly. Although, if you want, I suppose you could use your own blood and make cookies.
I thought of that, too. And that's what made me think of the next thing. Because here...
Go.
So, if I had PMS, I might be willing to try my own fluid, although I really doubt that. But that reminded me, there's a whole website, cookingwithcum.com.
Or it has, I know exactly what it is, and I have no idea what that is.
There's like a semen mixology book. There's all about making flan with cum in it. It's
every dessert is ruined forever. Every dessert is ruined forever.
Yeah, I don't know why that's a thing, because...
Rule 34?
I guess. I mean, I know everything is someone's fetish, but... I don't know, I never would have thought, like, sitting down, I feel like you have to think, okay, I'm going to put this in a souffle. Like, where do you cross the line at that point?
I don't know. I think any point where it becomes, like, something you're actually cooking with, for me that is not only crossing the line, but kind of throwing up on it.
Well, here's the other thought I had on how this might have happened. Say you're a bachelor, live alone, you're probably cooking naked, why not? Fuck it. Maybe, yeah, and while waiting for the oven, you happen to do that, and some of it lands in your ingredients, and you don't give a shit. Or you didn't notice, or something like that. Maybe that's how it started. Because a lot of stuff happens by accident.
I really think...
This is the anti-penicillin.
Anti-penicillin.
This is the kind of thing that makes you need penicillin if you eat it unexpectedly.
This is true. That would make you need penicillin. I don't know. I'm feeling that someone just decided they like how it tastes, decides to combine flavors that they enjoy, and then wrote a book about it. Which, by the way, it's a shame if I am of this podcast. I'd be even more ashamed if my name appeared on that cookbook.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm way less ashamed of this podcast than I would be of that book. Even though that book probably is making way more money than this podcast.
What if it's a joke and you did it for the long troll?
Slow clap, slowly in a standing ovation. And
either way, I think it would still be bad to have my name associated with it.
There's no think about it. There's no way that could benefit you or your family in any way, shape, or form.
I don't know. If it becomes popular enough, maybe you'll get a Food Network show where you can show how to make it.
I don't think it's going to be the Food Network.
That's got to be like a Playboy Channel spoof or something. Is that even still a channel? I don't even know. But there's got to be
probably.
There's got to be some sort of porn parody thing.
I feel Playboy would be far too classy for that, or God, I hope so.
I really don't know the difference, honestly. For the articles. No, you know what was kind of funny? Okay. So I follow a comedian on Twitter, right? And she tweets out links for things that she wrote, and it tends to be funny, so I click them all the time, right? And now there's one thing I've been reading. She regularly writes for, I think it's smokingjacket.com.
Okay.
I didn't know until I tried to keep opening at work through my RSS feed without realizing that it's owned by Playboy and it's blocked as pornography.
I could see that, because you know, Hugh Hefner always wears a smoking jacket.
Yeah, I didn't even put that together until just now. I just always thought, like...
That's what I do.
I just know that I'm on some IT list for constantly trying to access porn, even though I'm not, because I try to read comedy during lunchtime.
Sometimes porn is funny, Contrapants. Sometimes porn is funny.
The porn parodies are hilarious.
Even when it's unintentional, sometimes it's hilarious.
All right, and the only other thing that I have on this list is something it's not nowhere near as bad as all the others, because it's an actual traditional food.
Okay.
But in Scandinavia, I want to say Norway, but I'm not positive. They have a thing called, I think, lutefisk, is how you say it, where they take a fish, I forget which actual kind, unless if it is a lutefisk, I don't know. They coat it in lye and bury it for a couple months. And then they dig it back up and just eat it. Apparently it's really, like, acrid and bitter tasting, and apparently that's a traditional thing.
Just because something has been done for a long period of time, it doesn't mean you have to keep on doing it. And I feel this is one of those things that...
Well, when I worked at a large international company... I worked with a guy from Scotland, and he said the only people who ever eat haggis are tourists. So
I see that.
So I think that's probably the same thing in the Scandinavian country. But then again, I've talked to a few people from there, and they said that they have it with like their families. No one likes it, but they always do it. I guess like fruitcake for Christmas here. I don't know.
This fruitcake is not as bad as it's cracked up to be.
I think most of it's shit. There can be good ones, but that freeze-dried shit's terrible.
I've had one fruitcake, and it wasn't the best dessert I've ever had, but it wasn't bad. I mean, I was expecting fruitcake to be this horrible abomination, you know, set upon the earth by the devil, but okay, no, I could eat this.
So you never had one that was, like, all rubbery? Like, every piece of fruit in there was, like, wax fruit?
No.
That's how most of them are.
No, mine was...
If you buy them from the store, at least.
No, mine was made with, like, real fruit, like fresh fruit.
That's what this claims to be. But then it's, you know, packaged and shipped, and it's not good.
Yeah, but this one was, like, literally made from scratch, from actual fruit.
Like, it was homemade?
Yes.
Oh, that's totally different. That's not what people think of when they meet fruitcake. I've done that once. It's way better.
Yeah.
Most people buy it from the store. It is terrible.
I've never had one that was bought at the store. Every fruitcake I've ever had, all one of them, was actually made from scratch.
Yeah, normally, the cherries inside of it are hard pieces of rubber. You know, it's, like, glazed. For some reason, even the glaze is, like, this shellac coating. It's not, like, regular cake glaze, like every other cake you buy.
It's probably some sort of weird preservative-laden thing to keep the fruit from just decaying inside the cake. Because one time, I had some homemade blueberry muffins that had been sitting around for a couple days, and they tasted horrible because mold started to grow around the blueberries. So I took one bite, spit out, and decided I'm going to go throw up now. So if you do make homemade blueberry muffins, eat them quickly.
Yeah.
And if you're going to make a lot, just know. Either you have to give them away, or you're going to be throwing away a whole bunch of muffins. Because, boy, I made that mistake.
Yeah. Homemade's always better, but doesn't last as long. The fruitcakes that people normally think of, they have to be preserved because they're shipped all over the country and everything like that. Mm. And then... everything that's not eaten becomes a doorstop.
Okay. So, just to demonstrate the dichotomy between me and Contrapants, we had this whole thing where we wanted to come up with a bunch of weird foods. So, what were your weird foods come down, or just recap real quickly?
Oh, right. So, Fugu, the hide your shame from God bird, China where you have sex with your meat, the live fish, or loot fish, the Menzies cookies, and the breast milk ice cream.
So, I came up with the Sushi Rito, which is a combination of sushi and a burrito.
Oh, I thought that was the whale sushi. I thought that was just the name of it.
No.
Oh.
No, this is what I've come up with. And I feel like I should have gone first because your topics were clearly more interesting.
Oh, I got another one.
Okay. You know what? I don't even care about my own topic anymore. Go ahead.
What was the other one? Go ahead. I want to interrupt. I just realized. Oh, wait. I have another
one. No. You go ahead. This one's all you. Run with it. All
right. So there's a... It's some sort of underwater creature that looks like a rock.
Okay.
But it's full of, like, bleeding... Or looks like bleeding polyps. Like, it's really gross kind of bleed... I can't even... I'll put a link of it on here. I can't remember the name of it.
Go ahead.
But it looks like this living rock that when you break it open, it's just nothing but bloody chunks. Like you give something in Fret and Doom or something like that.
So, like, just basically anytime you kill anything in a horror movie, and everyone's just like a bucket of blood.
Yeah. Blood and, like, pus. And people deep fry that. But it looks like it's, like... bleeding and alive, and I wish I could think, it's, I forget what it's called. It's like, it looks like that bleeding fungus thing where, I just realized that it's probably a bad idea to go off something that needs a visual picture to show how bad it really is. I wish I'd brought a picture, but I didn't think of it until just now, because that's the way I roll.
Yeah, so my things like rice and fish combined and rolled up as if it were a burrito. sometimes there's avocado in there. And you're deep frying pus blood rock fish. I feel like I've struck out on this podcast, really. You sir, have overshadowed the hell out of everything I've done.
Well, to kind of go in between something I find kind of gross, but is in the realm of what you were thinking. Remember when Windows 7 came out in China or Japan? I think it was China. They had the Windows 7 Whopper at Burger King, where it was 7 patties.
I would actually probably be impressed by that and try and eat it.
I would try also, but I can only imagine what 7 Whoppers does to you. Probably like Heart Attack Grill.
Hey,
Heart Attack Grill, I don't know if you know, if you don't finish your burger, they have nurses that spank you with a paddle. It's their whole gimmick.
Because the fried food and all that was not enough of a gimmick?
Yep. Well, it's in Vegas.
Okay. All right.
Home of buffet, you know. As many buffets as the eye can see, so they needed something on top of that.
One day I'm going to need to just take that impulse trip to Vegas and do something regrettable. aside from, you know, start a podcast. I need to do something else that's also regrettable, and I feel that that could be part of my regrets.
Yeah. Here's the thing, I always wanted to go to Vegas, but I feel like after I lose all my money gambling, I don't know what else I'd do. Oh, besides see Penn & Teller. I want to do that.
I would see Penn & Teller.
Because I saw them once in, here. And outside of Vegas, they can't do the magic bullet trick.
Really?
Even though that's like their signature trick. Because it involves trying to bring firearms across state lines. And because it's real guns and everything like that. And there's so many liabilities that you have to do. And insurances you got to do for every theater they're at. They only do it at the Penn & Teller Theater. In Vegas.
Okay.
But it was still an awesome show. I want to see that trick, like, live.
You know, I actually, if I went to Vegas, I probably would not gamble because I'm bad at it. And that's the only justification I have. I'm not good at gambling, so why just burn my money when I can at least buy a bunch of gaudy stuff and lose my money that way? It'll be a more fun way to lose my money.
You see, I have the problem where if I start losing money, I have to win it back. Although, at the same time, except for once, every time I've gone to Atlantic City, I've made a profit.
Every time I've gone to Atlantic City, I've lost money.
And not like a few bucks, like usually a couple hundred. So I'm kind of happy with that.
I've only lost a few bucks, but still.
Yeah, what I lost a couple hundred, too.
You know, you're still up for your life. I'm just getting poorer and poorer every time I go, which is why I don't gamble.
Once I learned three-card poker, that's where I made everything. Blackjack, I lost everything. That's where I lost all my money that one time.
I thought you made your money on blackjack.
No, I like blackjack, but that's where I lose it.
Okay.
Three-card poker is kind of boring, but I make money on it, typically.
Well, then it should become the damn best game in the history of the world.
That and roulette. Well, I know that's pure luck, but I make money on that too, usually.
Nah, I'm the kind of guy who puts like all his money on black and then gets struck by lightning when the ball lands on red. Like, that's me.
You could do... there's people who put half on black, half on red. Why? You could only lose.
Yeah.
You either win your money back or you get green.
Yeah, that's true. You literally just, yeah. Your best case scenario is to break even.
I really like virtual craps, but when I tried playing it at the table, craps is made for speed.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just never got the, I never jumped in there, you know.
I just feel.
I need something a bit slower.
With virtual craps, it just feels rigged. Actually, with virtual anything, it feels rigged.
See, I used to spend months playing like Golden Nugget on N64. Where just casino games where there's no money whatsoever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I used to have a lot of fun with that. You know, to tie it back in, there used to be Vegas Steaks for Super Nintendo. And that, you can, someone would offer you food and you could pay money or whatever. They had those people who come up to you midway through the game. Sometimes they pickpocketed you, sometimes it actually, like, got you some sort of bonus, like you won a lottery ticket that you bought.
You won the lottery ticket that came with your steak?
No, like, like someone would be like, I have to leave, would you mind buying this lottery ticket? It cost me 50, I'll give it to you for 25. It's like, alright, sure. And then you would win like $1,000 maybe, or you lose 25 bucks. But that's in the middle of you playing other games. Yeah, I thought it was a little fun stuff.
So does the guy who sold you the $1,000 lottery ticket go and hang himself in the men's room?
You never see him again, so maybe.
I hope so.
So. Then again, if you buy the ticket from him, there's always the chance that you lost the $1,000 because he picked your pocket when he sold it to you. That was the other alternative. So it wasn't without risk.
Huh.
So it was kind of cool. Neat little twist. Also, it was one of the few games that let you use the SNES mouse. It was terrible to do it, but it'll let you do it.
That and Mario Paint.
Yeah, I can't think of another.
I didn't know there was one beyond Mario Paint.
Yeah. That one, the thing is, like, when it's the number, it's how you're betting and everything, the controller was easier to like than clicking up and down for every single thing.
Yeah.
But I guess placing your bets, you can click on the table rather than using the controller, but it didn't really get you anything.
Yeah.
The mouse doesn't really help with a menu-based game.
Yeah, I guess not.
That, and if you remember, the mouse, that was like a brick. That thing was heavy for what it was, if you remember.
No, I don't.
It was like two pounds, or 1 pound, or something like that.
Actually, no, I think I still have the mouse, but I lost the mouse pad. Mm. Or no, I lost the mouse pad before the mouse, but I don't think I have the mouse anymore either.
Yeah, and the thing was pretty good. I had a mouse for the Commodore 64, and the thing was made out of like solid metal. That thing weighed a ton. You can blackjack someone with that, like sap them in the back of the head.
Actually, just saying that you had the Commodore 64 alone is kind of impressive. But the mouse for it, yeah. You could assault someone with that pretty weird.
I had the Koala Pad for it, too. It was the original tablet that you can draw with a pen for art stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know they existed back then.
Yeah. Garage sales were awesome when it was, you know, technology that didn't exist anymore.
Wow.
People had like a 386 or 486. We got a Commodore from a garage sale, and I learned how to program and everything on that.
All done.
Came with all the peripherals and stuff like that. It had a cassette drive as your storage medium, like regular cassette tapes.
I went to a garage sale once, and I found the soundtrack from the original Star Wars movies in a box set. It used to retail for $50. I got it for like $15. Granted, like 10 years after I would have wanted originally, but still I saved money on the transaction.
You know what's kind of cool about the Commodore?
What?
You can plug it into your TV. You didn't need to buy a Commodore monitor.
Oh, nice.
And it let you use Atari joysticks.
Oh.
I had the Atari gear. Also from yard sale.
So all your technology came from yard sale?
Pretty much.
Now, would you say that yard sale would be disgusting to eat?
If I found food at a yard sale, yes, it would be disgusting to eat. You know what? When it came to computers, chips are pretty terrible to eat.
Yeah, actually,
it's
yeah,
a pretty bad bite.
You did something there and I saw it. Now I see what you did there, you with your doing things.
I did the most overdone joke ever for the internet.
No, there has to be.
Okay, I did the most overdone one before the existence of memes. Possibly.
There still has to be some. Well, okay.
Probably. Probably whatever was in chainmail before that.
Yeah, I was supposed to have, like, another 100 years of bad luck because I didn't forward that email back in, like, 1995.
That's why you're doing this podcast.
Yeah. If only I'd forwarded that chain letter, I wouldn't be doing this podcast now. But still, I guess it's okay to do the podcast because otherwise, what's the point of having the Uranium Bacon Podcast Theater if you can't do podcasts in it?
I guess that's what we're calling your apartment now.
Well, apparently. Shut up, it's a theater.
Much drama takes place here.
Oh yeah, that's true. But you know, we're muting the drama for podcast purposes.
True.
So we could talk about mints and cookies. Now,
you know what, if it was someone I know, I think I'd try them at this point. Now that we've been talking about them long enough. So that's what it takes. 40 minutes of talking about Menti's cookies before I give in.
It's not even 40 minutes. We mentioned it like, what, 10 minutes in, talked about it for like 2 to 3, talked about something completely different, and now you've caved.
You know what? I take it back. Because even if it was my wife, I would puss out at the very last second. I don't think I'd eat it. I take it back.
I feel this conversation is guaranteed that Contra Wife will never listen to this. And if she does...
Oh, she hasn't paid attention to anything I do.
Okay.
I've had my website 5 years. So I don't think she's looked at it.
Good. because this will only lead to badness. I don't know. I think if it's someone I know, that might make it worse for me.
Really?
You're never going to be able to look that person in the eye again.
I guess. I don't know what would be worse, honestly. What about, like, the breast milk ice cream? Would you have it if that's someone you know?
Depends on the relationship.
If it's not, like, your mom. If it's, like, a friend. If you don't want, say, cat's milk ice cream.
Is the friend dating anyone I know? Because if yes, then no, that's just too weird.
Okay.
But if not, then...
If it's a friend that you know that none of your friends know. Like a work friend, say. That you happen to somehow be close with.
No, that would actually make going to work awkward. But it'd have to be like someone I know that none of my friends really know that well.
A college friend.
Maybe.
I don't know, I'd try it.
I probably would, but I'd be happier not knowing the person unless it's like, if I had a girlfriend, maybe my girlfriend.
See, I feel like I'd have to do it just that way I can like look at them dead in the eye and go, you need more salt in your diet. Or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
Or just next time I see him, I'd offer him ice cream and be like, come on, you could use a little more sugar. You know, like something like that. Like, I would have to turn it into a running joke, which, although we should push it, it would be pretty funny.
No, I think that's worth
it. And it would be even funnier if I said that around people who didn't know that's what happened.
No, it's even better when people know what happens.
No, like, if you have, like, a mix of, like, some people laughing hysterically from it, the other people wondering what's going on with this.
I like how you stuck in saying, what the fuck.
I stumbled over it.
I was going to say, considering all the other things we've said...
I don't know, I'm pretty sure I've said fuck at least once on this.
Oh, we have. Okay. More than once. It's the official word of I'm ashamed of this.
So we're at 44 minutes. Should we cut it here? Maybe start another one if you want? Then we could go weekly, but record them every 2 weeks.
Don't ruin the magic for us.
Actually, that's not a bad idea.
Well, I guess we should cut it here. I was going to go on to another topic, but I feel we should probably cut out this last rambling.
Yeah, if we, what'd you call it? If you want to start another topic, that's perfect. Unless it's food-based.
I'm not going to be able to eat for a while. and on that note, I'm Uranium Bacon.
And I'm ContraPants, and you can contact us at show@imashamedofthis.com. I'm at ContraPants on Twitter.
I'm at Uranium Bacon on Twitter. And good luck trying to sleep after this one, folks.
Hopefully you aren't going home to dinner right now.
Oh, I hope they're eating.
All right. Bye-bye.